This morning, God's word comes to us from Psalm 110. Psalm 110, a psalm of David. We'll be reading all seven verses of this psalm. Psalm 110, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. The Lord will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this coming Thursday is a special day in the life of the church. At least I think it's a special day. May the 14th. This coming Thursday, May the 14th. Because it was on May the 14th, 9 years ago, that I was installed as senior pastor of this church. Wow. But May the 14th, this coming Thursday, is another significant day for more than that event. Not only a day significant to me, or perhaps to you, but a day significant for the church in general. Because this coming Thursday is 40 days after Easter. It is the day that we remember the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we are asked about the significance of certain events in the life of Christ, it's fairly easy to give an answer. What's the significance of the incarnation? Well, Christ came and became human so he could take our sins on himself. What's the significance of the crucifixion? Christ died on the cross to pay for those sins. What's the significance of his resurrection? Well, Christ rose to new life, and we rose to new life with him. But what if I asked you, what is the significance of the ascension? Well, Jesus goes from earth back to heaven. Now, that's the significance. He went from earth and went back to heaven where he came from. That certainly is true. But the significance of the ascension is not just a change in geography for Jesus. The significance of the ascension is that this is the king ascending to his royal throne. Jesus ascends into heaven to sit on his royal throne and to exercise kingship and rule over all. Psalm 10 is a psalm that gives us a picture of that. Psalm 10, as we'll see this morning, is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. Psalm 10 speaks about the reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It speaks about the enthronement of our King. And that King is a powerful King. We read in verse 1, The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord says to my Lord. Who are these lords being talked about, children? The Lord says to my Lord. That's a strange phrase. Well, if you look in your Bible carefully, you might see that the word Lord is in different type. There's different letters used. The first one, the Lord says, is in all capital letters. And the second one, says to my Lord, is in lowercase letters. The Lord says to my Lord. It's written about two different lords. The first Lord, the Lord who's speaking, is the Lord God the Father. Who is the second Lord? Well, it's a psalm of David, so we might think he's talking about David. The Lord says, to me. Is he speaking about David? We read about what Jesus said about this in Mark chapter 12. In Mark 12, it says, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, how is it that the teachers of the law say that Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? David is not the one being referred to. But this second Lord, the Lord says to my Lord, is a reference to Christ himself. It is God the Father speaking to God the Son. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. We read in Acts chapter 2, in that glorious sermon, brothers, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body decay. God raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The ascension is about Jesus Christ ascending to his royal throne. The Lord says to my Lord, God the Father says to the Son, sit at my right hand. The ascension is about Jesus ascending in power, ascending in glory as the sovereign ruler, more than David, more than any Davidic king. He is the one who sits in glory and in power. The author of Hebrews says this, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? No, it wasn't to angels God would speak. It was to his Son. His Son, exalted by God the Father, above all angels, above all powers, above any king, Jesus sits enthroned. Jesus sits enthroned. And he is sitting, which speaks of the finished nature of his work. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ sits enthroned. He sat down because his work was done. He had offered the perfect and final sacrifice. This morning, we come to the table of the Lord. We come to take and to eat and to take and to drink the body and blood of Christ. This is not a re-sacrifice of Christ, as some would claim. No, it is a sacrament. It's a reminder of what he already has done, what he has accomplished. He has made the final sacrifice, and now he sits down as king. He sits down and rules over all. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is a psalm filled with many, many pictures and images. I make your enemies your footstool. That is, your enemies will be beneath your feet. There was the practice for when an enemy was vanquished to put images of that enemy on the footstool of the king as a visible reminder the enemy had been completely subdued. We read of that practice of subduing the enemy, putting the footstool, putting your feet on the enemy in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua has gone out and there's been a battle and they've captured some kings. Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me." So they brought the five kings out of the cave. When they brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who'd come with him, "Come here, put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came forward and placed their feet on his necks. Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight." It is a picture of complete domination. And that is what Jesus Christ has done. Completely defeated the foes. Completely defeated the enemies. No enemy can stand against him because he has ascended. Ascended to his royal throne, and his enemies are now as a footstool. We read, "The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies." He sits there exercising authority, exercising divine authority as the king. His mighty scepter ruling. We read in verse 3, "Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments." The people offering themselves in service to the king. This king is so powerful. This king is so dominant. This king can face any enemy that the men are welcome to join the army. They look forward to serving because they know of the absolute victory that is secured. They freely offer themselves in service to the king. And we hear echoes of what Paul will say in Romans chapter 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Willingly offering ourselves to God and to King Jesus Christ, because he is the powerful sovereign. He is the one who rules over all. "From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours." Young and old, living in service to the king. That is the glory of the ascension. That's what we celebrate and commemorate. Jesus Christ ascended from earth to heaven to sit on his heavenly throne. He rules there as the sovereign king. But he is also there as our righteous priest. And that's what David makes reference to in verse 4. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. God has decided, the Lord has sworn, he will not change his mind. You, Christ, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He continues his priestly office as he ascends to the royal throne. And David makes reference to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is that king priest. We are introduced to him in Genesis chapter 14. As Abraham goes out to a battle, comes back from that battle victorious, he meets with Melchizedek. And we read in Hebrews chapter 7 a divine commentary on that meeting. What was the significance of Abraham meeting with Melchizedek? I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. This Melchizedek, king of righteousness, this Melchizedek, king of peace, of Salem, Shalom, he is this glorious king, and he meets Abraham coming back from a battle. God says, you're a priest like that, after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 goes on. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers. These also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. What is our author telling us? Abraham, as great as he was, Abraham, the father of believers, would give a tithe to Melchizedek because of his superiority. The tithe is given to the greater. And Hebrews says, it is as if the Levites, those who normally would receive the tithe, are giving that. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob's the father of Levi. He says, it's as if Levi is still inside Abraham, but Levi himself, who receives the tithes of God's people, pays that tithe to Melchizedek because he is such a glorious king and priest. And that is Jesus Christ. Glorious above all, glorious beyond any other priest there ever has been. He continues in heaven today, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What is he doing there as our high priest? We said he came to earth. We said he offered the final sacrifice. Is he still sacrificing in heaven? Of course he is not. The sacrificing is done. What is he doing as priest, sitting at God's right hand? He is there interceding for his people. Jesus sits at God's right hand praying for you. the glory of the ascension. We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Jesus ascended to heaven. He ascended as our righteous priest, and he sits on his royal throne. He sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes on your behalf. Your hurts, your pains, your trials, all brought before God the Father through Jesus Christ, the great and glorious high priest. Oh, we celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. Because he was that powerful sovereign, he was that righteous priest and remains so. And he is the victor. And that's how our psalm concludes. He says this, the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. This great and glorious priest king will have the final victory over all. Oh, he had the victory at the cross. He broke the back of Satan. He defeated any power that he had, but there still continues in this earth. There still continues sin and trial and ongoing battle. But we know that Jesus Christ is assured the absolute and glorious victory. He will shatter the kings. He will execute judgment. He will fill the nations with corpses. He will shatter the chiefs. He is the one who will have that great and glorious and final victory over all. And all of his saints join with him in joy, celebrating his victory. We read that glorious truth in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh are written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lord Jesus Christ will have the final victory. All of his enemies will be crushed and sent away to eternal punishment, but all who are found in him will rejoice because their king, their Lord, their priest is demonstrating his absolute and final superiority to any other pretending power. Do you know this Jesus Christ? Do you know this ascended priest king? Have you embraced him as Lord of your life? Have you confessed he is your only hope in life and in death? Oh, he calls you this morning to put your faith and your trust and your hope in him alone, and to know the assurance of belonging to such a great and glorious Savior who ascended, who sits at God's right hand. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head, a source of continued refreshment. He will drink from the brook, continued nourishment as the battle wages on. And we have a foretaste of that refreshment this morning as we come to the table of the Lord. Our perhaps weary hearts, our burdened hearts are refreshed, are encouraged as we feed on Christ Himself by faith and as we celebrate the glory of His ascension, the glory of His ongoing rule. Oh, we know His initial victory at the cross, the victory over sin and death. We know His ongoing rule now, and we anticipate that glorious final and complete victory. When we celebrate not here below, under the veil of these earthly elements, but we are at the wedding banquet of the King. We celebrate the enthronement of our King Jesus Christ and His ascension. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, you are great, you are glorious, you are majestic, and we praise you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. He is our priest king. He is the one who right now sits at your right hand, who is right now interceding for us, who has the victory over sin and Satan and death. Oh, Lord God, may we rejoice in him. May we rejoice in what he has done. May we celebrate his ascension and know that this was a glorious blessing, not only for him to return to your heavenly home, but a blessing for us as he rules and reigns over all creation. We praise you in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.